we all are, considering the question, is Jesus Christ God? It's perhaps the most searching question in the scriptures. A lot of controversy in our world. There's probably very little here, I hope, but there's a lot of controversy in the world as to who really is Jesus Christ? Or what is he? Is he a man or is he God? Ultimately, it's going to be a personal decision that will determine for you and for me who he is. But I want to say this, and perhaps this is always the challenge with any ministry. Our lives will determine that, and we will be a witness to who he really is. Why do I say that? When we open the scriptures, we see the Lord Jesus prophesied as the coming Messiah. And there are some who say, well, the Messiah is not God, he's a man. Well, in the 6 to 10,000 years of human history, we've seen what man can do, haven't we? When we look at the testimony of God's word concerning the person of Jesus Christ, there's a wealth of information, and I don't want to use that term information because we live in an information world and we just get information and we hit delete and information disappears. But God has given to us a body of facts to the extent that it will determine how we live and where we go from here. Every one of us, every single one of us will have to come to terms with the fact as to who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say this as I remind myself, I remind my children, I remind you, and I remind myself again, we are accountable. Everyone sitting here this morning is accountable. Why? Because we're going to give an account for what we know and what we've heard. And God is such that the word does not leave his lips without returning to him having accomplished what he will. And if there's one thing that God in heaven would have, is that once we have heard concerning his Son, it moves us from where we are to where we need to be. And ultimately, that is what this is really all about. Is Jesus Christ God? We read in the scriptures some really just awesome truths, statement of facts concerning the Lord Jesus. And when we look at John's Gospel, which I'd like you to turn to, first chapter of John, for those of you familiar with the opening, it's a very simple opening. I may have said it here, I know I've said it elsewhere, and I tease my sons and they tease me that they know I'm getting older because I try not to repeat myself, and I repeat myself. I pride myself on that. My wife repeats herself, she's not here so she can't defend herself. But I find myself repeating myself and I can't keep track of where I said what I said, but repetition nonetheless. But John's Gospel and all the Gospels just present the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way that it begs the question, who is he? And I love John's Gospel because he presents truth simply, but just boldly before us. In the first chapter it reads, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things, and this is the Darby translation, but all things received being through him. And without him, not one thing received being, which has received being. Now this is rather interesting. He leaves no doubt. Obviously, the subject of this entire gospel is going to center around the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word. But I want to say this here. John is really not in a position, reverently speaking, to determine really who Jesus is, because John is a finite being. He was born at a certain point in time, but the declaration that is being made here supersedes time. My personal view is that this is the testimony of the Holy Spirit of the living God of heaven and earth through his servant John. You see, there are certain truths in the scripture such that a man in and of himself is simply not able to make that declaration apart from the revelation of the Holy Spirit, who is a person. And here the Holy Spirit uses this man so that the Spirit himself may testify concerning the person of Jesus Christ as to who he is. He's God. And this cannot be contested. You may contest it. You know, you may say to yourselves, well, you know, how do I know it's the Holy Spirit? Trust me, my friend, the day will come when you will know. And if you don't know Christ the Savior, I trust you will know him before that time. Because there was a man, and hopefully this evening we will learn of that man, who was a wealthy man, who passed a certain beggar at his gate. And ultimately, like all men, it was appointed unto that man to die one day, and he died. And in hell his eyes were opened. But in this experience that the Lord Jesus taught concerning this man, we see that he understood what he had learned, but it was too late. Why? Because he never acted on it. But it was such that he wanted to send to his family members someone from the dead, and it was told to him that they have Moses and the scriptures. So God holds you and me accountable for what we read and understand in the scriptures. This is the testimony of the Holy Spirit concerning the person of the Lord Jesus. He is, in essence, God. I say in essence because how do you define spirit? You can't. We can't. But it is brought before us in such a way that having started at the first point, it makes sense everything that follows thereafter. You know, if you come to our house, there are times that I sit, my son, my youngest son, he has such a wonderful sense of humor. I think we're somewhat alike, not that I have a sense of humor, but, you know, I sit there and I listen to the stuff that goes on at our table or the conversations, and, you know, I said to myself, Lord, we're all a bunch of crazy people in this house. But it's so funny when you see us interacting. You know, I think it's funny at least, and my youngest son looks at me, and sometimes I just shake my head and he bursts out laughing because he catches the humor. But if you were to come to the house, you would say, well, you know, are they really all wrapped tightly together? And I said, you know, I said to them one day, I said, you know, God is a wonderful God because he has wired us really strangely here. But if you came, hopefully you would enjoy the visit. But you might find us odd. Well, you know, this is one of those things that are just difficult to understand. How can a man testify to that which is infinite, having not been there? You can't, can you? You need someone who was there to testify to the origin of the object. And the object for us is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's only one person to do that. That is the Holy Spirit of God, who was in the beginning with God and is God also. And his testimony is true. He says, all things received being through him. And there isn't anything that is that did not receive its being but through him. Which begs the question, if he created it, why? Which leads us to the conclusion that God has in mind a reason, a purpose, a plan for what he created. And therefore, it needs to make sense. The problem with our world, the problem with us, the problem with every human being is that we're sort of off kilter. Adam introduced into the world a condition that was not there before. He introduced sin, and by his sin and rebellion, death. And death has passed to all men, For all have sinned. When Adam sinned. So we are living in a state, in a condition that God did not plan to have. Now, he has planned having seen it, but his intent was that the world would be, the earth would be a place of blessing, that man would be able to fellowship with him, and he with man, and have for himself the ultimate of all blessings, the infinite, perfect, holy God with him, and he with man. That was his plan. This creature, having dominion over all his creation, the pinnacle of all his creation, mankind. So everything received being and had a divine plan. And so we come here and the Holy Spirit testifies to this one, the Christ. Is he or is he not God? I'm okay with this. Why? Well, do you remember what you were before you came to know Christ as Savior? Do you remember what you loved? Do you remember what you did? How you spoke? How you thought? Do you recall what your life was like? I remember vividly what mine was. Didn't like it. Was bound. Couldn't set myself free. What about you? He has a plan. And the Holy Spirit begins to use John to unfold this. Now, we're going to be going to several scriptures, but it is important for us to understand something when we look at the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a plan. He is God. And what is critical here is that he is the ultimate cause of all things, not evil, because you walk away saying, oh, well, you know, God caused this evil. In terms of what exists, he is the starting point. Mary, we won't turn to it because there are several scriptures, but Mary was given a revelation, a declaration, a blessing of being the vessel by which God would cause the incarnation to come into being, the fleshly body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she would be that name. And of course, she received that revelation by the angel that was sent to her. And he told her concerning the Lord Jesus that he would be great. This is in Luke 1. You needn't turn to it, but he shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord shall give him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob for the ages, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, imagine this teenager, perhaps, hearing this. And obviously, being a virgin. Now, let's be real. She wouldn't ask the question nor make the statement if she were not a virgin, because she said, well, how shall this be? I don't know a man. I've never been intimate with a man. That makes perfectly good sense. How can you tell me I'm going to have all this and I don't know a man? And then he says that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Wherefore, the holy thing also which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Not only so, but we are told in Matthew concerning the Lord Jesus that his name shall be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. My dear friend, these are bold statements. You can't get around it. God with us. When you read the gospel, God is giving us the testimony of his divine presence on earth with men. He is showing us, revealing to us his mind, his heart, his desire towards men. He reveals the truth of his intent, of his plan, of a kingdom that doesn't exist here on earth, of a world, of being beyond what we could see, of a condition in man that renders us incapable of genuinely pleasing God as we are. God reveals truth to us about his plan, his intent. I mentioned earlier that he has a plan. And when we see the Lord Jesus moving through, as it were, the streets of Jerusalem and all the towns thereof, what was he doing? In the beginning of his ministry, he went to the synagogue and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the glad tidings to the poor, to set captives free, to make blind people see." And he went on to show that he would simply restore, begin to show that he can restore. What was his original plan? That the earth would have been a place of blessing. But people needed to be convinced that he is who he is. He's God. And that there's no one who is able to do this except God. And his enemies struggled with this. Why? Is he or is he not God? But he did the works. He proved by his works who he is in essence. And this indeed was a mystery. Why? Because he fell asleep. You know, he could fall asleep. How can God fall asleep? You know, I can imagine the disciples. He's asleep. He's asleep. But he just made a blind man see. But he's sleeping. He's tired. He's hungry. How do you explain it? Perfect man, yet God. It is a mystery. But you know what I think of often? You know, I tell you, forgive me. Ladies, the ladies, the sisters can understand, I'm sure. Have you ever walked through Macy's? Oh, those of you who've walked through Macy's, and then the last year, please put up your hands. I'm sure you have. None of you? Oh, I was going to say, what is wrong with the sisters here? Nobody goes through Macy's. And I wasn't shopping either. I just said pass through Macy's. The prices are exorbitant in that place. It's a ripoff. Anyway. I'm sorry, did you buy something there? It's well worth it. You probably got it on sale, you know? Yeah, right. They jack it up so high, mark it down, and you still could go lower. Anyway. You know what my favorite part of going to Macy's is? The perfume section. I gotta tell you, I tell my wife, I love to do this. Let's go through the perfume section. And I just exhale and inhale slowly as I walk through the perfume section. It's just delightful. And you see the people handing out the little samples, and I walk around sniffing those things, and I keep them in the car because they're too expensive, but boy, it smells really nice. I love the perfume section. I gotta tell you, I laughed at myself as I'm thinking about this, saying, "Christian, this is really off the wall." Well, you know something? Forgive me. Living and walking with the Lord Jesus must have been like that. He could not but ooze of divinity. Because they looked at him. John could write, "We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of a Father, full of grace and truth." They saw a man, but bound in this limitation, this body, was God. And he couldn't but hide the fact that he's God. How can you hide the infinite? You can't. And they saw the evidence of this in his works. How do you know? Let's look at these works. Aside from the testimony of the Holy Spirit, the Gospels are filled with his work. I start from the most important. Raising the dead. Raising the dead. Now, I know people, you know, all our modern day think tankers, you know, they're so intelligent. That's wonderful. You know, I'm glad for intelligent men because, you know, we have cell phones, we have automobiles that can tell the temperature of outside while inside is a certain temperature. And, you know, great, wonderful. God has given to men intelligence. It's also part of their downfall. How do you know he raised the dead? Well, let me ask you something. If someone raised the dead, would you forget that? No, you wouldn't, would you? Well, here's an incident in John where Jesus told his disciples concerning Lazarus. You know it quite well. But he waited until Lazarus died. Went to the sisters in John 11. And to me, this is just one of those incidents that I get goose pimples every time I read it. In John 11, Jesus arrived. And Martha came to him in verse 20. When she heard Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary sat in the house. And Martha therefore said, verse 21 of chapter 11 of John's Gospel, said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. True statement. But even now I know that whatever you shall ask of God, God will give to you. Rather interesting. She's telling God, maybe she doesn't realize the extent to who the Lord Jesus is, but she says, you know, if you ask God, I know God will hear you. Well, of course God hears God. You know, it's just absolutely amazing. And Jesus says to her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha says to him, I know he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. And this is so typical of you and me. And this is where I wanted to challenge you. You see, we believe towards an end. You know, in the by and by, I will be in glory. And we believe that because we will, those whosoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, has eternal life here and going forward. But we think in terms of the future. When I die, I will be in the by and by. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, though, yes, he has died, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes on me shall never die. And this is where he challenges her. Do you believe this? You see, it's rare that the Lord Jesus would ask someone, do you believe? But he asked blind men, do you believe I can do this? And one blind man said, yes. He had heard the testimony of others who had been blind and now see. And he says, well, they could not be more blind than me. So if he did it for them, it must be true for me. Yes, Lord, I believe. But the Lord Jesus, being God, is telling us something concerning the nature of God that you and I really need to understand. He is the source of life. It starts with him. Remember in the beginning, he says, everything that has being by virtue of him. It came from him. Here, we are not looking for life. We have life. The Bible tells us, he who has the Son has life. Corinthians tells us that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Romans tells us that we are in Christ. And all of these prepositions, as it were, tells us concerning the place of the believer in this one who is infinite. Beloved, let me bring it home to you very simply. For this woman, her brother had died. And she recognized, based on what Jesus had done, that he could have prevented him from dying. The Lord Jesus wanted to reveal something about himself that she needed to understand. I don't have to be there. I am life. I am the resurrection. And it is not a by and by relationship. It is now. He who has the Son right now has life. I want to ask you, those of you who may not know Christ as Savior, or you may not even be sure, or even in your Christian walk, there is a struggle. Why? Because you're just not sure he can do for you personally what you hope in your heart he would do. This is the challenge. These people were real. Their needs were real. Their love was real. They needed God in a real way. And the problem with some of us is that we want a God we can believe in afar off. But when it comes to the issues of life that challenge us, that make us recognize that we're weak, it is then, beloved, that we need to know exactly who God is. The scriptures give us the testimony concerning Jesus Christ. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Now look at what she says. Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ. And, you know, my sons, I feel sorry for them. Because sometimes I say, you know, I didn't ask you that. What I asked you was this. Answer the question. And I looked at this and I said, yeah, Lord, you did what, I'm doing what you unfortunately did to this poor woman. He said, you know, the question I ask is, do you believe this? And having said this, she went and she called Mary, her sister. And Mary came, and poor Mary when she said, when she came to the Lord, she said, verse 32, if you had been here, my brother had not died. And I believe the words cannot capture the depth of this poor woman's grief. She believed the Lord Jesus. She sat at his feet and drank it all up. This is a woman that rested. Let me just tell you something. The issues of her soul were resting on him. She rested on him. And there's a difference with just believing and believing with no other option in mind. She believed with no other option in mind. So when her disappointment comes, it is felt acutely. It is felt deeply because she believed that Jesus would never forsake her. He loved them. They loved him. And this is one of those relationships that were just really unique. So when she says, Lord, if you had been here, he would not have died. Can you understand where she was coming from? This was totally different. This is the disappointment that stems from having an expectation with nothing else in mind that this person will never disappoint me. Never. But she's come to disappointment in life. If you had been here. And Jesus, scripture says, when he saw her weeping, he didn't say much. He saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, and was moved. You know why this really blesses my heart? Because it tells me as infinite as God is, he can identify with where we are. This is the blessing of God with us. You know, I marvel that he understands. He's infinite. He's holy. He's righteous. He commands the universe by the word of his power. He keeps it all together. And he understands to the fullest extent everything that needs to be understood. He sees the end from the beginning. He understands our thoughts even before we think it. And he understands it afar off. And nothing is hid from his eyes. And he can look at this poor woman who can say to him, the living God of the universe, who keeps even her being together. If you had been here, he understands. He understands. There is no disappointment that I will ever go through, or you, that our Lord Jesus cannot and does not identify with. God with us. The marvel of this is, and let me ask the question, when he asked to remove the stone, Lazarus was in the grave 4 days. Decay set in. Rotting flesh. Think about it. When, at the instant he called Lazarus, at that instant, the man is made whole. Explain it. Explain it. Only God can do that. Nobody else. Rotting flesh. Man made whole. God alone. Demonstrated to her and to everyone around that he is God. He is God to us. He says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. What do you need? Let me ask you candidly. What do you need in your Christian walk? Life. We need resurrection power to do and live the impossible, to love the unlovely, to give out of our meager resources, trusting him to restore, to enable us to do what heretofore we have found impossible to do. What does he do? He restores. He provides. He gives life. This was his intent and plan from the ages, that he himself would be the source of man's blessing and life and sustenance and all that man ever would need. He, man, would find in him, God, this source of life.
Now he has come into a scene that it is not like that anymore. It has been turned upside down. The enemy has sown, as it were, corruption. Man has abdicated his place of authority, and sin has entered in. And now that God has come down, he has come to show mankind that he is here to restore what was changed, what was not his plan. And when you think of your life and mine as a Christian, and the demand that God can rightly make on us to live a certain way, it is to restore the plan for man to live before God the way he intended. But in us, we find that that capacity is not there. Paul could write, I find in me no good thing. It's not there. I need to be delivered from this body of death. The man knew that in his life as a Christian, I can't do it. And you know what? We all need to be brought to the point where we recognize we cannot do it. She recognized, Lord, if you had been here, right here in Bethany, when my brother was sick, he would not have died. And he's just trying to tell her, I don't have to be here or anywhere else. I am life. I am the resurrection and the life. And he testified by his work, by this particular work, that he is indeed God. Time is always against us. Let me skip forward. We will continue this evening. I want to deal with one last incident in a few remaining moments. In Mark 5, we have a demoniac that none could control. And I want to say here that even the very spirit beings testify concerning the person of Jesus Christ as to who he is. See, the Lord Jesus can do so by his very lips, the testimony concerning himself. And I skipped over one in John 8, the encounter with the Pharisees and the people. And time would not permit, we could cover that this evening. But this particular incident is really important for us to understand. You see, as we are present now, right here, we cannot see the spirit world around us. We just can't. But we are locked in a battle. We are engaged, whether we want to be or not. And as soon as the Holy Spirit delivers us out of darkness, the enemy recognizes that we are indwelt by the light of the world himself. So we are engaged in a battle. And here, it was not God's plan that these beings can just overtake a man against his will, as it were, and possess him. Not God's plan. We were made to be temples of God's Spirit. And here, a demon or demon held this man captive. And the scripture says, to save time, that day and night, verse 5, in the tombs, Mark 5, that he was day and night in the tombs and in the mountains, and he was crying and cutting himself with stones. But seeing Jesus from afar off, he ran and did him homage, and crying with a loud voice, saying, What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God. Now, in the Old Testament, the Most High, the Mighty, was a term simply set aside for Jehovah, for Yahweh. And they are testifying using the same term concerning the Lord Jesus. What do we have to do? What are you doing here? Basically, what do you say? What? You know, I could see them trembling, as it were. And he says, I adjure thee by God, torment me not. In Matthew, he says, Have you come to torment us before the time? Let me just say this. They recognize that there is a time scale in God's plan where their doom has already been identified. And the presence of the Lord Jesus, I believe, was a surprise to them. What is he doing here? Have you come to torment us before that time? So they knew. And let me ask you, How would they have known that? Where did this event take place that they would know when their doom is? Where were we? We weren't there, were we? So it is evident that there is an event that took place, a judgment, if you will, where their fate was sealed by the God of heaven, where he says, this is your time, the day of your destruction. And now they recognize him being there. What are you doing here? Have you come before this time? So we weren't there. If he were not God, how would they know concerning that time? And then they ask, literally, for mercy. Cast us into the swine. Spirit beings are asking this one for mercy. And they can destroy us easily. Yet they ask him for mercy. Send us into the swine. But the marvel of it is, he really came to deliver a man. One man. To restore him. Remember I said before that he has a plan? God has a plan. And part of his plan, the microcosm, was here. He came to restore. He came to set things right. He came to reestablish the way back to God. When Adam sinned, men died. He said, Adam, the day you disobey, you will die. And the way back to God was through the same death of his son. Death was the result. Death is the open door, as it were, through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. We have access to the Father, and we can boldly come. I look at my sons, and they come in. I said, but knock at my door before you enter that bedroom. And they would knock and come right in and sit on the bed and start chat. There is no fear. We have access to the Father. But here, the Lord Jesus came to restore a man. And he set him free by the word of his power. He says to the demon, go. Go. And they left. But they asked his permission. And it becomes the evidence to us, beloved, that we can lean on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. These things are not given as idle tales for us to just relish in them. They are given to us so that we would inwardly cast all, literally just hand it to him and say, Lord, my cares are yours. You are able. And this is the key. He's able. You know, I always remind myself, and I have to remind my sons when they start fretting. I said, son, all right, we go through this exercise. I said, son, look at the universe, how vast it is. And I said, now go into our solar system, which is about a small piece of the puzzle in this quadrant right over here. And then when you get into our solar system, go and find Earth in this little quadrant right over here. And then when you find Earth, go to the nations that are but dust to God, and then find America. And I said, when you find America, do the hunt for... And then when you find New Jersey, I said, dig for... And then when you find Somerset, look for 24 Gunther. My goodness, it's a... Right there. And then when you get there, go through, oh, there's dad, there's mom, there I am. And then take your problem and then put it there in view of this vast universe. I said, small, isn't it? He's like, all right, dad. I said, get the picture? I said, he can be trusted. I said, now trust him. Let him be God. Trust him. Hand your cares over to him. And here he's showing, by the raising of the dead, that he has control over life and death because he himself is the source of life. Life is in him. First John says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. And then over here, the very things that of anybody who had little control over themselves, this man certainly did. He could not help himself. Could he? I believe he wanted to be set free, but couldn't, bound by a legion. And Jesus set him free. And I said, if I were dead, he could raise me. If I was bound by circumstances beyond my human capacity to solve, he could solve them. He is God. And I would apologize that we don't have the time. We could be here all night. You'd be falling out the windows. But we could be here all night looking at the scriptures to see. He is sufficient. He is sufficient. And God, by his Spirit, would have us to simply come to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, here are my issues. Here are my circumstances. Here am I. Take me. Lead me. Enable me. Because you are God. And you're in me by your Spirit. May God just simply lead us to trust him for his glory. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Help us by your Spirit to see the Lord Jesus and to trust him implicitly to your glory. Remember those who may be in your presence. Lord, we all have our point of need, point of struggle. Help us reveal yourself sufficient for our need. And to the little ones or the older ones who may be undecided, Lord, open their understanding, open their eyes. We're asking this according to your will, according to your promise. And we do so giving you thanks for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.